Genesis chapter 1. This afternoon, we're just going to dig a little bit deeper, take a little bit of time to talk about creation a little more, and then we're going to take some time to get out and try to get our invites to Vacation Bible School out, and of course, look for opportunities to preach the gospel. If you're able, let's stand together. Let's pray before we open God's word, look into it this afternoon. Brother Silas, will you lead us in prayer? Amen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. Please be seated. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This is the foundation of truth. We learned a lot about John 3:16 at camp last week, and certainly what a great summation of the gospel. That God so loved the world that he sacrificed his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, not be separated from God forever in the lake of fire, but would have everlasting life. And it's a great summation of it, but somebody, I think, wisely said that the gospel doesn't begin like in John or in the gospels, it begins in Genesis 1. Because if we don't believe this, then why would we believe any of the rest of it? And it's no doubt that Satan has worked very hard to fight against the truth of creation and a creator. It's pretty amazing, though, to watch, somebody with a secular mindset, with a very unbiblical worldview, studying science and studying the things that God has created, though they don't acknowledge God, coming to the place where they understand that there's no way that everything that we see in the universe happened by accident. It's scientifically impossible that it all came about by random chance processes over billions of years. It's just absolutely impossible. There are things that exist in nature that have what scientists call, especially creation scientists call, irreducible complexity. In other words, evolutionary biology would tell you that everything that makes everything up has evolved from something lesser. But at some point, you get to something that you can't break down into its component parts any further. That thing just is. And you can't go any further. Like, that had to exist for all these other things to exist. And so it couldn't have evolved from nothing. It couldn't evolve from something else. That life form couldn't exist without it. Let me put it just a little bit, maybe more simply. If you believe in evolutionary processes, then every part that makes up your body had to evolve along the way. So let me ask you a question. Which evolved first, your heart or the blood that it pumps? And the answer is neither one. It didn't evolve because God created them. Created them as complete units, created them as a whole. When he formed Adam out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and gave him life, Adam was a complete human being. He didn't have to slowly grow into a human from sludge over millions of years. And that's the whole point. God's design is seen in everything. Look at Psalm 19 and verse 1, if you would. Psalm 19 and verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. And he goes on with some more beautiful language. But here's the reality. If you will look at creation, you will see the handiwork of God. It testifies in every tribe, tongue, and nation around the world that there is a creator in heaven. There is a God in heaven who made all things. And so we're talking about the kingdom of God and the king's creation. We have to understand this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when we look at creation, we know that there's time, space, and matter. That's what makes up the universe. Some people would expand it to say time, force, action, space, and matter. But here's the reality. It's all right here. In the beginning, that's time. God created the heavens, that's space, and the earth, and that is matter. And God created. That's the force. That's the power behind it all. So when we look at the universe, when we look at all that exists, there's time, space, matter, and energy, and it's all right there in Genesis 1:1. And we need to understand that God created all things. He created everything. So do we believe? Do we believe what the Bible says? Or are we going to try to mix together what unbelievers say with what the Word of God says? How important is Genesis, and not just Genesis 1, but think about Genesis 1 through 11. In these chapters, God teaches us about creation. He teaches us about sin. He teaches us about marriage and gender and death and judgment and his plan of redemption. It's all in the first 11 chapters of the first book of the Bible. And if we don't understand this foundation, then it's going to dismantle everything about reality, and people are going to be out there not knowing what truth is. So where are we at in the world today? We're in a world today where people don't know what truth is, where people have no foundation, so they're questioning really difficult, complex matters like gender. Why? Because they've abandoned the truth of the foundation of the Word of God. I love how Jesus really clears up so many things. If you'll look at Mark chapter 10 and verse 6. Now the Lord's answering a question about Moses and why he allowed there to be a bill of divorcement. But I just love how when Jesus answers things, he settles so much. Now he answers their question about marriage and divorce. But here's what he says in Mark 10, 6. From the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Okay? Why is that important? When I look at the Bible and I look at creation, I'm what's identified as a young earth creationist. What that means is I believe that the earth is relatively young compared to everybody else's ideas of the age of the earth, and I believe that God created everything in six literal 24-hour days. Okay? And I think God's word pretty plain. He says the evening and the morning was the first day, and the evening and the morning was the second day, and I don't really know how it is in your world, but in my world, when there's an evening and a morning consecutively, that's a day, right? And if that's not complicated enough, then you could just look at what God institutes to memorialize his creation week, because he sets it up as a memorial every seventh day, the Sabbath day, as a day of rest and remembrance of his creation. So it's a weekly reminder for the Jews of God's creation, because he created everything in six literal 24-hour days. But there are, in about 1830, a man named Charles Lyell wrote a book called Principles of Geology. And Charles Lyell put forth this concept. Lyell was not a believer. He was anti-God. And he wrote a book about geology. And he put forth an idea called uniformitarianism. That's a really long word. But it just means he believed, when he went around and looked at rock formations, places like vast canyons. Like, how many of you have ever been to Grand Canyon? Anybody ever been to Grand Canyon? Okay. Were places where you see massive rock formations and layers. Okay. He believed that all of that happened over long periods of time. In other words, he might have traveled to a place similar to Grand Canyon. He would have looked at the river at the bottom, and he would have looked at how it was moving and how maybe it took away some sediment along the way. And he figured, well, considering how deep this is, that river must have been going for a really, 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 really long time. And so he supposed that all of the geological formations around the world happened over millions and millions of years. So he wrote about that. Sometime later, a man named Charles Darwin read that book and was highly influenced by it. He got on a ship called the Beagle, and he went around to, most famously, the Galapagos Islands, and he looked at how there were different species that had variations. And so he took Lyell's idea of millions of years, and he took what he saw on the Galapagos and other places and said, well, these changes must have happened over millions of years. And he looked at things like the finches and saw how they were different depending on what they ate, stuff like that. Their beaks were different. And he says, well, if these species could change within their species, then obviously species change from one species to another. And so he wrote his book, The Origin of the Species, and here we are today. And people have bought that lie, hook, line, and sinker. Now, why do I call it a lie? Because God said he created everything on the planet after their kind. That means that one kind multiplies within its kind. That means that one kind doesn't change into another kind. Is that fair? In other words, we can look at creation, we can look at the ark, we can look at the animals that Noah took on the ark, and he would have taken two of each or seven of each, depending on what kind of animal it was, but like cat kinds, okay, or dog kinds. In other words, he didn't take one of the 870 different species of dogs there are on the planet today. I just made that number up. I don't know how many there are. People are coming up with the craziest dogs I've ever heard of. You guys know what I'm talking about? I mean, they take all these different species and cross them up. I don't know how many different kinds of dogs you can breed with a poodle, but there are billions, right? And I don't know why anybody would modify a dog to turn it into a chihuahua, but they've done that. But he took two dog kinds, two cat kinds, two cow kinds, two horse kinds. Why? Because all these different types of animals reproduce after their kind. Why does all that matter? Well, it matters because if you don't believe Genesis 1 through 11, why would you believe John 3:16? Jesus points back to creation. He says, from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. So there are people who reject the Bible completely, believe all this happened by random chance processes over billions of years, that somewhere eons ago on this planet, there was a puddle of water, lightning struck it, and a life form was created. And over billions and billions of years, that single-celled organism grew into everything that you see in this room and everything that's ever existed on the planet. From elephants to chiggers, to the giant sequoia trees, to pond scum. It all evolved from the one single-celled organism that turned into every plant, every animal that's ever existed. Now you tell me, what takes more faith? What takes more faith? So God created everything, and the Lord points back to the beginning. Now, some people completely reject the Bible. Other people try to fit evolution into the Bible. There's something called theistic evolution. In other words, this is something that tripped me up when I went to college, because I rejected evolution. I rejected the idea that God didn't create. But when I got to college, I had a professor who stood up and said that you can believe the Bible and evolution, that you just put them together and it's fine. Well, that shook me, because I never thought of that before. So you have something called theistic evolution. In other words, the idea is that God put it all in motion, but then he allowed evolutionary processes to develop over time. Let me tell you something. The problem with that is the theory of evolution lays out the way things evolved over billions of years, and none of it lines up with God's account. You say, well, a day is unto the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years unto a day. So that brings out the day-age theory. Well, maybe when he says day, he really means eons of time, but that doesn't work either. Jesus said, from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. You know what that means? That when God created everything, he created man and woman at the same time. Evolution says that mankind's only been around for tens of thousands of years, not for millions or billions of years. So it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work to mesh them together. God created just like he said. Let me give you one more great problem with the idea. There's another theory, and some of you were probably taught this, maybe in this church growing up, and I'm going to tell you why I don't think it's true. You're still there in Genesis? No, you're not in Genesis. Go back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Good? Verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, I was taught this early on, and some of you were probably taught this, that in between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1, verse 2, there is a great gap of time. It's known as the gap theory. And the idea is this, that all of the stuff we see in the fossil record, like all the dinosaurs and all the supposed millions of years of history, Earth history, that all happened between Genesis 1, verse 1, and Genesis 1, verse 2. And what happened is Satan was cast out of heaven, and he destroyed God's creation. And then we move on in verse 3, and God recreates creation. Okay? So the idea is that there was a lot of death and destruction for millions and millions of years, until God recreated things, moving from verse 3 and on. But I want you to look at Romans 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Who was that one man? Who was it? Adam brought sin into the world. Is that what you're saying? Because I know you guys are tired. Just give me a little nod. Just try not to get stuck in the nod. Okay. One man sin entered into the world, Adam, and what? What's this word? By sin. The gap theory requires millions of years of death and destruction before Adam was even created. Friends, that's just not what the Bible teaches. It's contrary to the scriptures. It's contrary to what the Lord Jesus said, and it's contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Death came into the world by sin, Adam's sin, and death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Now, you might think I'm crazy sitting in this room today. You might think I'm crazy because I believe that the earth is relatively young compared to what everybody else says, that God literally created it all in six actual 24-hour days, and that there haven't actually been millions of years of Earth's history. You may think I'm crazy for that, but I'm just telling you, I'm going to stand by the Word of God says and look like a fool to the world rather than try to twist Scripture to fit into what man says. I'm 45 years old. I'm 45 years old. In my lifetime, the earth has gotten billions of years older. What do I mean by that? What I mean is, as scientists who want to reject God keep trying to fit what they see in the world into billions of years, trying to make sure that it all will work with what they believe, they keep adding zeros. But I'm going to tell you, you can make it as old as you want to. It'll never work because there is a God in heaven created everything, and he's put his thumbprint on everything that he made. There's no question that there is a designer in heaven. No question. When I was in high school, I can't remember the exact number now. I wish I could. I think it was 7 or 8 billion years old that the universe was supposed to be. I think it's up to 14 billion now, last I checked. Somebody can Google that later and correct me where I'm wrong. I just know this. I've watched it get billions and billions and billions of years older in my lifetime. And I figure by the time I'm dead, they'll probably add some more billions. But it's not going to change anything because God's still going to be on his throne. Does it matter? Absolutely. The opening chapters of Genesis are not optional. It's not allegory. It's not myth. It's not poetry. It is the historical record given by the Creator. And you ought to believe it. You ought to believe it. Thank you. 13.8 billion. I knew somebody could Google it right now while I'm talking. So what does all this have to do with the kingdom? God made man in his image for his glory. God made man to believe in him and to have relationship with him. We look at the world today, humanism, naturalism, just a godless worldview stands in opposition to the Creator God. And what we need to do is come into submission and obedience to the Creator of all things. Here's the truth. There is no conflict between true science and the Bible. They always work perfectly together. But the Bible warns us about something called science, falsely so-called. In other words, there's knowledge that people claim that simply isn't true. The foundation of our worldview determines our eternity. What do I mean? I mean that if you're going to reject, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, then someday you're going to reject, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe every word of it. From God created to the last amen, believe every word of it. Believe every word of it. Embrace the truths of Genesis. Live under God's reign and serve the King who made all things. Let's stand together. We're going to end our service this afternoon with prayer. As always, we need to respond to God's word. It's an amazing thing that God would create us and then allow us to choose whatever we want to do. The same God who created us allows and gives good things to everybody on this planet, people who say he doesn't even exist. He still sends his rain and sunshine, provides everything. Any good thing they have in their life comes from him. And he is so merciful and so loving and so kind. And what an awesome thing that you and I get to know him by faith, get to walk with him. And then we get to go tell other people about him. So we're going to pray and dismiss, and then we're going to get to our outreach this afternoon. Father in heaven, thank you for those that are here this afternoon. Bless them richly. I pray for those that are not able to be here, that you'll just give grace and healing. Watch over everyone. I pray for your grace and your peace to be on us all. Lord, those that are traveling, please keep them safe and bring them home safely. Those that are sick or hurting and just unable to get out, we pray that you'll bring healing and give help to them. And Lord, we just pray that you'll bless as we go out in our community this afternoon. Please go before us and open doors. Lord, just pray that as we try to get the word out about Vacation Bible School, that we can, more importantly, get the gospel out, that we can share your amazing love with others. I thank you for giving us life. I thank you that you're on the throne, ruling over all things, and we can have hope and peace and joy in believing. Please forgive our sins and be with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today was supposed to be the business meeting, but your pastor forgot all about it, so we're not going to do that today. Plus, we want to have a little more time to get the door hangers out this afternoon. So we're going to...